I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got one doozy of a show for you this evening, and it will be mostly about setting yourself free, learning how to change core beliefs, and we're going to be going into a belief system from Elin, one of the members of the Asasani civilization. And if you're a lover of Bashar and all the teachings that Bashar has shared with us over the last 25 years or so, I think you're really going to like tonight's show because it's just a different slant on the same teachings. And in that regard, I know many of us today have been aware of shows like The Secret and Law of Attraction and have been making more of a conscious effort to make a difference in our outer reflections and our experience in 3D. And I know that obviously from person to person this has been with varying degrees of success. And one of the things I'm going to try to attempt to do on tonight's show is give you a complete package, a kit of mentally looking at things. And if you're new to ET Yoga, we will start tonight's show by giving some tips from Bashar. And I think that you'll find that the information on ET Yoga, we try to make it practical. And I might take a moment here to reflect, especially I know that we have some new listeners tonight, and which reminds me to, I want to really thank all the people that have emailed me over the course of the last several months, especially in the last 6 weeks, the volume seems to have increased quite a bit, and people can email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca, that's paper as in paper, fungo, F-U-N-G-O, at yahoo.ca. And I do try to get back to everyone who emails. And I'm very appreciative of the positive comments that have been made. And I say that because so far I've only received one semi-negative comment. And so I'm thrilled that there is a core of people out there that really love ET Yoga, as I do. And why did this come about? Why does ET Yoga, you know, even on the air? Well, I guess over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, it became obvious to me that we need to increase our immune systems and we need to make better connections with our higher self and develop the mental side of healing the known and the unknown. And at that time, I started up the website called Healing the Known and the Unknown. And that can be found at maxwellgreensite.com. And the purpose of all that information was basically looking at the world today and seeing, you know, where I might make a difference. And clearly I felt that self-empowerment and increasing the immune system were two things that were really needed at this time. And it so turns out that the two cross over into each other, as we've articulated many times on ET Yoga. And in addition to that, the necessity in today's world, because of all the disease and negative or supposedly, I guess, a negative influences in our life with respect to damaging our DNA and affecting our immune systems from the environment and other sources, it became pretty clear to me that with respect to what seems to be in some cases a population reduction in certain ways, that those who were going to come through these times ahead were going to need to really improve their immune systems, and especially for those people who are a little bit up in age. And because of the toxicities that have built up over the years, I mean, the world is becoming more toxic, and the information, you know, back, you know, say in the 60s and 70s, I never heard anybody really talking very much about detox programs and this kind of thing, and these are the kinds of programs that really do help boost your immune system. And also, it also is apparent that in today's world, with the different types of stresses that are prevalent in the world, that we need to really be able to get a better handle on keeping our peace. And for those new people to ET Yoga, I said I was going to start the show tonight with some tips and books, websites, information, that before we get into the real meat of tonight's program. And a reminder would be to try to have a paper or pencil handy when listening to ET Yoga, because from the very outset, what I've really tried to do was to fill the program full of information, information, information that can be used on a practical level. And part of the reason that that came about was because of my own experience listening to different radio shows and listening for half an hour, and maybe they made a point or two, or and largely were involved with you know, becoming hosts for other people that had acquired knowledge. And the focus of ET Yoga has always been to try and provide lots of information on every show, and I hope that we're successful in doing that. So to begin, I'd like to start off with some websites and some books that I found to be really valuable over the course of time. For those who are new to the show tonight, ET Yoga, the name of ET Yoga came about because of my personal experiences in the yogic and extraterrestrial areas. And my yogic background is from the old days, Baba Ram Das and Sri Ramana Maharshi and his teachings, as well as Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Swami Satchidananda. And from the ET side, my influences have been from the Pleiadians, Syrians, Arcturians, and Esasani, specifically Bashar. And thus, passing on some books, Sri Ramana Maharshi's book, The Path of Self-Knowledge, to me is, that's the one that I always keep, no matter where I am. And Autobiography of a Yogi, to me, is the classic yogic text by Paramahansa Yogananda. And to me, I've always felt of him as being the king of bhakti yoga, or the emotion of and the heart. And in Sri Swami Satchidananda's repertoire, he has many books, as does Yogananda, you know, out there on the market. Integral yoga is his path, and To Know Yourself is my favorite book of his. And he also has books out on Hatha Yoga and a variety of other ones. But I would think that his videotapes and also can be found at the Satchidananda Ashram in Virginia. So another good source of information. The classic yogic text, Paramahansa Yogananda's Autobiography of a Yogi, to me is analogous to the Barbara Marciniak information in her book, Bringers of the Dawn. And if you haven't read Bringers of the Dawn, you know, I just think that's a must. This is a Pleiadian channeled material that relates a lot to, you know, life today, but gives lots of information about history, consciousness in particular. And Bashar has recommended the book Cosmic Voyage, because this was done through remote viewing. And he claims that it's about 95% accurate. So I think, and that book deals a lot with a lot of things that are going on in our universe, extraterrestrial in nature. Another great website is the Lightweaver. And this is material channeled by Michelle Eloff through Master Kathumi. Healing Timelines, I always look up Healing Timelines on the internet to find the Arcturian information channeled by Sal Rochelle. I find that to be a very interesting website. Not to mention www.bashar.org, because Bashar has been coming through Daryl Anka now for about 25 years, and all these tapes, videos, cassettes, any form that you like in technology is certainly available at that site, and in my opinion, is one of the highest, if not the highest, sources of information on the planet today. In that regard, Sri Ramkan Kira Ra have been producing the Egyptian healing rods, which can be found at www.egyptianhealingrods.com. I really suggest those that product, in particular because of the way that it boosts the immune system. And the latest Russian analysis on these has been that about 10 minutes a day of this is like getting an hour of acupuncture. And I just find they're a phenomenal tool for today's new age healing in particular. They have been known to heal cancer tumors. The quartz crystal rods number 3 is the specific product that has been suggested for that particular ailment. As well in the healing area, the Atlantean Healing Technologies by Earl B. Hall. And that's an amazing site. Now, it specifically as it relates to cancer, Earl has come out and he's got a page that basically says, yes, there is a cure for cancer, and it's Pau D'Arco tea or Tahibo tea. And he lists there about pages of research that have been done in about 25 different types of cancers, from Tokyo University to lots of other places, and a lot of the specific results that have been documented with respect to that cure. And for those who have interest or loved ones that are having issues with that subject, I highly, highly recommend that. Not to mention, you know, Bashar's suggestions that with a thorough detoxification, that's head to colon, and putting the proper nutrients in the body, such as superfood, and speaking of that, both those types of products can be found at the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. That's Dr. Schultz's products. And Bashar says that 99.9% of disease can be cured through the miraculous natural healing properties of the body. In fact, over the course of time, I've had a bit of experience with people that have had, some, I think, even one of the most aggressive forms of cancer. That was due to some of the formaldehyde materials and some of these more aggressive cancers. Most recently, I'm working with a woman in British Columbia who has virtually neutralized this. And to be honest, was more of a skeptic with respect to how important diet can be. And doing proper detox and changing her diet off the red meats You know, taking a tip from Dr. Schultz, if you've got something and you know why you developed it, then stop doing the things you were doing when you developed it. It's a good place to start. And also, another great website is the Creative Camelot Club, and that's through Marilyn the Magician. And if you're interested in, you know, hanging out with a lot of people and dealing with creating reality, that's a great website, and that's directly linked to Merlin. And, of course, there's the Infinity Codes of 2007, and that's connected with the Genosh material, Genosh Sacred Geometry, and Genosh Crop Circles. We always try to plug the crop circles because they are a frequency, and the legitimate ones, at least. And Patricia Corey's books, The Syrian Revelations. And in particular, No More Secrets, No More Lies. And, of course, her newest, I believe, her newest, because she's constantly writing new things, the Starseed Dialogues. And that gives you kind of a lot of up-to-date information on what's happening extraterrestrial-wise. And also I found some very interesting information on the Toth website, T-H-O-T-H, as well as, of course, Healing the Known and the Unknown. And that's my website at maxwellgreensight.com. And in terms of tips of the week, if you haven't been listening to ET Yoga, one of the Bashar's great tips that's a connection to and from your higher self is to repeat that outer circumstances don't matter. Only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? If you prefer joy, choose joy and act on the situation from that perspective. And it's also been proven that the heart emits a frequency, or the heart in the brain emits a frequency 5,000 times stronger than the one in the head. So by choosing your frequency, like joy, you definitely change your perspective of the experience in 3D. And further to that particular technique is the concept that all outer circumstances are inherently neutral. In other words, outer circumstances do not come with built-in meaning. And this is one of those techniques that we've tried to mention almost on every show, and that is to place a positive emotional spin on any negative circumstance. And Bashar will say the formula is positive emotional spin in, positive experience out. Negative emotional spin in, negative experience out. And we've been challenging people for months on ET Yoga, try the technique, and it'll just blow your mind, because it works. And it also has really big relevance in the area of healing, because the first thing on my website that I suggest to people whenever they're caught in a situation that they want to change the auto-reflection is to start off by putting a positive spin on it. Even if you can't see any possible way that this could a situation could turn into something positive, just say to yourself and focus on the fact that even though I can't see how this could possibly turn out positive, I want to put a positive spin on this and let's see how it turns out. And I challenge you to do that. And when you start becoming successful at that, and you take it from there, eventually your confidence is so high that you just automatically want to do it. Because whenever you view any outer circumstance as a negative, you're going to have a negative experience. And there really is no percentage at all in placing a negative spin on anything. And I like to call this whole concept stacking the deck of life in your favor. Because the fact is, yes, you can control the outer experience and you can control your perception of it. And it's just not make-believe. It's almost like the concept that was taught years ago about you're responsible for your peace of mind. I mean, other people can push your buttons, but you still make the decision. Do you want to let them push your buttons? Or are you having a perspective that's higher than that so that you can control your emotional response by choosing the response you choose to take and not getting lost in them determining your peace? No, you're responsible for your peace, and I'm going to take that one step farther and say that you're also responsible for the experience that you're having, because you choose it. And when we're through with tonight's program, I think you'll, if you haven't grasped the concept, if you get to grasp the concepts in tonight's show, I guarantee you that you will be free and you will have and see the connection between your thoughts, beliefs, and definitions and your outer experience. So, moving on to the Elin information. And this, in my way of thinking, is just profound information on the mechanics of how we each create our own reality. And this information is very similar to the wisdom offered by Bashar, also an Esasani. And speaking of websites, that's another interesting one to punch up on your search engines, just Esasani. However, each of these two beings focuses on emphasizing different facets of this civilization's database of accumulated wisdom. And I find it to be really, really fascinating, because obviously I just love the Bashar material and know that what he's saying is true. And of course, all beliefs are equally true. So if you believe they're not, they're not. But they're true for me. And I hope they'll be true for you. Now, in the Elin material, he breaks things down very simply into, number one, deciding, number two, decision maintenance, number three, selecting from the already existing options, and four, actions indicate beliefs. So let's go into those four areas. Number one, deciding. Since the present is the result of the present and not the result of the past, in each now moment, each of us decides exactly who and what we are, and thereby instantly is that. The infinite consciousness that each of us really is creates us to be whatever way we decide in that now moment that we actually are. Now, normally, we assume that we become a certain way because of the steps we created to get there or the criteria we must meet to get there. But that is only an illusion. For example, a person may think, if I exercise every day, then in 3 weeks I will be strong. And in 3 weeks they are strong. But they are strong then because they are deciding in that now moment to be strong, not because of the prerequisite steps of exercise that they have set up for themselves to get there. Therefore, if you want to be a certain way, you can take the long route. And that's the normal human approach. We've been taught, you know, for centuries, you want to get there, you set up this elaborate process. So you set up an elaborate process of steps that must be taken in order to reach your destination or state of being, or an elaborate set of criteria that must all be met in order to get there. And then take the time to go through all these steps or meet all those criteria, and then finally give yourself permission to decide to then be that way. That, you know, that's how we've been doing things. Or you can take the short route and simply decide not to be that way with no intervening steps or criteria necessary to get there. So this is the shortcut. I mean, you know, think about it. And then trusting that decision and acting accordingly, you become that way now. Let me give you a couple practical examples of that that I've seen in my life with, you know, personally and with other people. Let's say someone wants to stop smoking. Okay, I used to run a program called Kick Butt in secondary school, and it was basically, it's a non-smoking program for teenagers. And one of the things I realized is that when people first came in and their attitude, I was going to try to quit, I knew right away they were going to have difficulty because it's not a try program. It's called do or not do. And when you're clear in your mind that you're going to do it, then your chances are much greater of success. But I have seen people decide in one moment, and this is why we focus so much in that program on initial motivation. If you decide to quit right now, you can quit right now. And one of the things I identified in that program was some people, you know, just aren't capable of doing that. And some people aren't capable of doing the whole program on their own. They need helpers. You know, they need a partner or they need a group. And a lot of people are just, you know, their belief systems are built that way. And they need that. But objectively, no, you don't. It's the same with Alcoholic Anonymous. I know people that decided, I'm never going to drink again right now, and that's it. And other people go to the meetings, and they need the group, and they like the support and all the rest of it that goes with it. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, you can decide right now how you want to be. Those are two very clear examples. Now, going into the second area of decision maintenance. Here's the catch-22 where most people get stuck. Once you decide that you are now a certain way, if something comes along in your external reality that contradicts this decision, in many cases people will disappointedly think, well, I guess my decision did not stick. I guess I'm not really that way after all. But what is actually happening here is that the person is willing to let the contradictory external evidence talk them out of their new empowered decision, which means that they are changing their decision from the new empowered decision to the previous disempowered decision. So it's true they are what they decide, but they are now deciding to be what they don't prefer instead of what they do prefer. And let's face it, how many times do we hear people talking about they're always getting reflection back that they don't prefer? This is the big catch-22. So Elon, he suggests an alternate approach. He says, when you have decided that you are now a certain way and your external reality provides you with evidence to the contrary, instead of letting this contradictory evidence talk you out of your new decision, use it to reinforce your new decision. Ah, look at this. I have decided that I am this way, and now my external reality is showing me the opposite. Oh, thank you, external reality, for reminding me, by contrast, of what my decision is, so that I can once again reinforce and reactivate my new decision. I mean, you know, really, how many of us, when we get a reflection that's not what we prefer, do we say, thank you? You know, thank you, external reality, for reminding me, you know, and turning it into a positive. It's just like Bashar turning any negative, you know, perception into a positive situation. And, you know, speaking of that, another great tip, you know, from Bashar is that we try to do too much with the rational mind. You know, the rational mind was not designed to know how things work. We don't know how things come about. We can make the decision of what, but we don't know the how. That's not something that a rational mind has the capacity to do. That's the job of the higher self. That's why it's so necessary to start connecting more with your higher self and do the job that you're supposed to do from the rational thinking mind, which is making your connections with your higher self and throwing a positive spin on outer circumstances. That's the main job. So do your job. Don't do the job of the higher self. The higher self can see the valley. It can know all the turns in the road that are lying up ahead. It knows when the bridge is washed out and where to give you those intuitions and urges to go, you know, sometimes backwards. It looks like the long way, but it's not from if you're seeing it from the higher perspective. The rational mind's down there in the bottom of the valley and really can't make decisions. And it's another very, very key thing in this new age, with lots of things happening so fast and lots of changes, that in order to be in the right place at the right time, you need to be in alignment with your higher self. Your rational mind just cannot make the kinds of decisions that the higher self can. It just cannot see the road. So in this manner, when your external reality provides evidence to the contrary of what you've decided, you can use this to reinforce rather than nullify your new empowered decision. And that's like I said at the beginning, this is just Elin's take. It's just like the Bashar stuff, but it's just another angle on it. And that means that you switch from your, you know, instead of allowing you to switch from your new empowered decision, you basically are, you know, using any negative to turn it into a positive. So, thank you, external reality, for reminding me by contrast of what my new decision is, so I can once again reinforce and activate the new decision. And though this process of decision maintenance, always using external reality to reinforce your new decision, you eventually reach the point where external reality no longer invalidates your new decision, but only invalidates it. And both Elin and Bashar used the example, and like I say, once you get this, it's just going to blow your mind, because, you know, so many of us get caught in this catch-22. You know, we make a decision, we think we're visualizing, we think that we've done all the things right, and then as soon as something comes up in our external reality that, negates that, we lose it. And then things don't change. And why don't they change? Well, think of beliefs as the cause, and what you see in front of you as the delayed result. I mean, in 3D, let's face it, one of the reasons that mankind has never clued into the fact that thought creates until the last, 10 or 20 years, is because there's this delayed result. I mean, if we could manifest everything we thought of right away, I mean, you can do that, but you got to be at a level of being able to handle that, because otherwise you're going to be manifesting all those negative beliefs really quickly. So just like shouting in a canyon can be a cause, and hearing the echo of your shout can be the delayed result, notice that if you shout one and shout two, that at the moment you shout two, you're still hearing the echoes of one. It's the same with your beliefs and your definitions. When you make your changes, you're still going to get the old reflection for a while until the new one comes. So likewise, if you think of one as your original disempowered belief and think of two as your new empowered belief, when you first initiate your new empowered belief, you will still be getting echoes of the previous disempowered belief. But that doesn't mean that the new belief hasn't taken hold. It just means that its ripples or echoes haven't reached you yet. So just because you've adopted a new belief but are still seeing echoes or reflections of the previous belief, this does not mean that, well, I guess this doesn't work. I guess I'm still the old disempowered me. It just means that the echoes of the new belief have not yet bounced back to you yet. So don't invalidate the new empowered belief just because its outer reflections, echoes, have not reached you yet. Don't look for what is the same, which would be the echoes of the previously disempowered belief. Oh, I guess nothing has really changed. Instead, look for what is different, the echoes of the new empowered belief. Ah, the new empowered belief is beginning to produce results. So the conclusion of this part is, ignore evidence of the old disempowered belief and look for evidence of the new empowered belief. Now, I should also point out here that a couple of great masters have made comments about sometimes not getting what we want, but what we need. And I know that Satchitananda would always see plan pending God's approval. Or Bashar has even gone into some detail talking about the fact that, let's say, I mean, everybody, when they start off with the trial, well, not everybody, but most people, because the focus of The Secret was so about financial issues, that they're in so interested in, you know, creating $1 million right away, and if they don't get it, well, then this stuff doesn't work. The fact is that sometimes your higher self rearranges experiences in life so that the time for certain things like, you know, coming into lots of money, your higher self has an agenda of experiences that you are to have sometimes before something like that manifests. And that's why I remind people about Satchitananda's comment about plan pending God's approval. So, you know, you've got a plan, but, you know, so is your higher self. Now, moving on to number three, selecting from the already existing options. Since you are actually an infinite being experiencing the finiteness of time and space, all the possible scenarios or versions of how your life could actually be all already exist. Each of them is a hologram, which you can think of as a probable reality or a possible reality. They all coexist right here and right now. And I think this is really important because, you know, a lot of people think that they have to create, you know, new versions of reality. You don't have to create it. You just need to attract it. You just need to become the frequency of what you want to become. It's not about creating a new reality. You know, I can look at it from that way and say, yeah, you are creating a new reality, but you can also look at it from the other way, and the point is that you're really attracting it to you because it already exists. Infinite possibilities, Earth, alternate timelines, they're all simultaneously existing. They're already here. Therefore, you don't really need to create the way you would like your life to be because it already exists. All you need to do is select it from all the infinite available options. And in one sense, it's kind of like going to a delicatessen where you see each of the dishes behind the glass. All the available dishes already exist, and you merely have to select the option you want. It's like a radio not needing to create the program it wishes to listen to, since the radio stations have already created all those programs. All the radio needs to do is select the already existing program it wishes to receive. And that's what we are, kind of like, you know, we're antennas for human experience, you know, and we tune into the channels that we want to experience. And thus, Bashar would say, if you want to tune into positive Earth timelines, focus on the timelines you want to experience. And a good tip for that would be, like, every day, say, you know, I effortlessly intend, because intend's a power word, to be part of the hologram that creates heaven on Earth. You know, focus on the timeline that you want to experience, and that's what and don't worry about everybody else, what they're going to do. You'll find there'll be enough people there that want to experience that when you get there. And from all these already existing options, you select the version of reality you prefer by assuming the posture of the version you prefer to highlight and bring forth that version. Assuming the posture of is another way of saying that you have decided which version you prefer to experience. And then you trust that decision and act accordingly. Now, Bashar, again, that relates back to the concept in Bashar's teachings about putting a positive spin on any outer circumstance. You know, you can choose to experience any situation through joy. Visualize in your mind how a person would experience or deal with a situation from the perspective of joy, and then act that way. That's what imagination is for. I, magic nation, you know, or a nation of magicians. Number four, actions indicate beliefs. Your beliefs determine the reality that you perceive. And this is another, you know, it's a huge point. Belief creates what you believe is. You then emotionally react to your perception and then think about it and then act accordingly. Beliefs equal perception equals emotional reaction equals thoughts equals action. Accordingly, your emotions are the result of your beliefs. So if you find yourself not enjoying your current state of emotion, just ask yourself, what would I have to believe in order to end up feeling this way? By backtracking in this manner and then shifting your beliefs, you can shift the cause, the beliefs, and thereby also shift the result, your feelings and emotions. I mean, this is, you know, in some respects, this is almost like working on a car, you know, one part and another part. You know, you change the one part, you're going to get a different result. One part's broken, you need to go in and fix it. Likewise, your actions are also the results of your beliefs. This is significant because often one will say they believe something, but their actions indicate a totally opposite belief. For example, expect the best, but prepare for the worst. If you're holding contradictory beliefs, it is always the strongest belief that determines the reality you get, and your actions are a clear indicator of your strongest beliefs. So you can use your actions. It's more than what you say you believe as a reliable indicator of your strongest beliefs, because actions speak louder than words. You know, if somebody's talking to you and they're talking a good game, the bottom line is, what are they doing? Actions indicate beliefs. They're the connector. To backtrack from actions to beliefs, just ask yourself, what would I have to believe to be taking these actions? It's a good idea to evaluate the beliefs that are fueling your actions before you actually take those actions. If you say you are expecting the best, but your actions are preparing for the worst, your strongest belief is expecting the worst. And so that's what you would eventually experience in some form. Now, a good way to calibrate your actions is by going into your imagination and there asking yourself, how would someone actually expecting the best be acting? Again, using your imagination. And once you see in your imagination how they act, then just act in the same manner out here. That's the key. That's the trick. And each individual is all-knowing, all-seeing, simultaneous, multidimensional, infinite, and eternal by nature, and already contains anything they seek to know, all knowledge, anything that you seek to experience and anything you seek to create. They are each pure consciousness, each of us, an infinite being. There is nothing outside of infinity, and there are no boundaries to infinity. Any external manifestation literally exists within you. Your body, your external reality, is all within your consciousness. It is all actually you. You create it all. Reality exists within you. Now, being more of who you are. Again, how many times we've heard Bashar talk about being more of who we are so that when the ETs come to somebody's home. Growth and learning are characteristics of linear reality, and from the infinite point of view, an illusion. You already know it all. The idea of learning is an exploration. The act of discovering is simply opening up the cover, the veil, to more of who you already are. The mechanism to experience expansion is truly to simply now express more of yourself, which is infinite, more of your infinite potential, more of what you know to be true for you, and being fully what you are is always present and available. Now, also with respect to the decision, begin to willingly participate in the creation and experience of your reality consciously. You already contain it all. There is no outside. There is no external. There is only you experiencing yourself. There is nowhere to go. You're already there. There is nothing to get rid of, process through, earn, gain, or achieve. There is simply decision. It's up to you. In any given moment to express who you prefer to be versus any self-imposed definition. Every moment you are expressing some version of who you believe yourself to be. You decide in each and every moment who you are. You create yourself 100% right now. Now is the only time that is truly, truly real. Your infinite consciousness is one eternal now. Recreate yourself according to who you prefer to be, being willing to be mindful of the decision you are making right now and exploring who you prefer to be right now is all that it takes to completely and 100% transform your entire experience right now. You already create your reality through decision, trust, and action automatically. Just be conscious and definite about it. Number one, make the decision. This is who I am. I am this way. I'm this type of person. I'm this kind of person. Who does this? Number two, trust the decision. Well, I must be that person. And number three, action. Act or perform an action in your reality with the foundational underlying supposition of your decision that this is who I am. Act as the person you have decided that you are for whatever you decide you get. The present is not the result of the past unless you say so. It's always your choice. Trusting the decision. Your actions will be to reflect the decision, and the action will have results. External circumstances will seem to change. When you change your perspective, your approach, there appears to be an external alteration of circumstance. When you change who you are, it appears that others have changed. You change in vibration, through which you express your reality, and you now are literally interacting with a different version of any individual that you formerly dealt with. They seem to have changed, but it is you. As you change and experience a different aspect of yourself, you then interact with a different aspect of other people as well. The mechanics are simple. Change results from the decision in that moment, not the process. You always trust 100% in something. Trust or faith does not need to be gained or mustered up. You already trust 100% in something. Be aware that you always trust in something you already have. You are always placing it somewhere. Where am I placing my trust? If you have a consistency to that decision, if you choose who you are and then continue to decide, this is who I am, then you will create continuity. And what is doubt? Doubt is a complete 100% trust in the reality I say I do not prefer. Trusting is not talking yourself out of something. It is knowing you are going to decide something anyway and allowing yourself to register the preferred decision purposely and consciously. I create myself in each and every moment completely. In each moment, I make the decision about who I am. Physical reality actually is created on a consciousness level, although you can function within the apparency of the necessity for action. Drop all definitions of who you are and see yourself as infinite and enter into conscious creatorhood. Creating your life according to conscious means. Allow your decision to be conscious. You are going to make a decision anyway. So ask yourself, who are you? Who is it you see yourself as? Your ideal self? It is up to you to have that answer, that decision. Be the choice of who you know yourself to be. Circumstances does not tell you who you are. You do. See if you are buying into any definition that is less than infinite. By being willing to commit to the true and higher decision and maintain that decision, you get the effects of being the person that you now create yourself to be. You become the person you decide in each and every given moment. At any moment, you are not only the person that you have defined yourself to be. This is who I am. Trusting the decision is simply maintenance of the decision. I am. Sit up, stand up straight, allow the body posture and attitude to exemplify that decision. Make that decision. I am. Decide who you are right now. Who you are. State the positive decisions of who you are in definite and absolute terms. I am magnetic to prosperity. See through the eyes of that decision. Act as a person who has made that decision fully committed. Being that person will quickly become automatic. Do what you would do if you completely accepted yourself as that being. Now that I am this being in these circumstances. So from what is available in these circumstances, this being that I now am would do this. There are no limitations towards being who you are, other than the ones that you build into your decision. So allow your actions to reflect and express the decision that you make about yourself. What you say is an action, a response. I am, and I like to do, and I choose to have, and do it. Everything is part of this process. interpretations, unexpected results. Nothing has any influence over you whatsoever except your decision. Everything exists within you. Every single thing you perceive is created by you to support any decision that you make in your reality. It's up to you. Is that decision making you happy, bringing the results that you want? The truth is that you have everything you need to be anything you want, to be any person you want, to experience any reality you know is true for you. Be what you already are. You already have what you need right now. You already have the knowledge that you need to at least take the appropriate steps right now. You already know what you need to know when you need to know it right now. Access your power and your knowledge right now. You contain the answers. You contain the power. You can do the things you desire already. This allows you to begin to step in accord with your power and channel your power into the present. Because you contain it all, and you know what you need to know. If there is something right now that you can do that will allow you to be fully who you are, be conscious in the management and dispensation of your power. Remind yourself, you get the effect of being a particular person you desire to be by deciding. Be at ease, loosen up, and allow yourself to deliver yourself, perhaps through an unexpected avenue, simply something that will fulfill the atmosphere that you are choosing to create to support the new decision of who you are. All is well. I have decided it is easy to create my reality. I desire, and I do it with joy and openness. And remember, responsible. You have full and complete command, conscious command over what you put out in your life and whatever vibration you are being. When you put something out is the result you seem to get back. Believing is seeing. Whatever vibration you are being in any given moment will be the reality you experience. So make a firm belief, a firm decision, and firm reality. I stick to my empowered decision 100% perfectly. If you're committed to your decision, everything that the universe requires to allow your decision to manifest already exists, and there is your power. Commit to that decision. The actuality is that you are multidimensional, infinite, eternal beings. You create your reality 100% in every given moment. And whoever you decide you are that person. And you always have complete control over your response, the action that you put out in your reality. I am willing to respond positively, creating my reality, and doing it consciously is simple. And I've always felt that responsibility is your power. In my opinion, this is the key statement regarding taking back our power. When things happen to you or someone else is at fault, then you're a victim and feel powerless. Once you realize that you are responsible for creating your reality and take 100% responsibility for everything in your life, then you have the power to fix it. Take 10 seconds or 30 seconds to stop and realign. Pausing before you act, pausing before you say anything is very key to consciously realigning and creating anew. I know it is truly a neutral symbol. For example, money. What I assign to it is the only thing that determines the effect. And your response in any situation is always reflective of my most empowered version of who I am. And remember to decide that all feedback, no matter what it appears to be, always reinforces your decision. Now, with respect to reprogramming some old beliefs that you have, I highly recommend Manifesting Your Dreams in the 21st Century. It's a CD that can be found at www.bashar.org, Manifesting Your Dreams in the 21st Century. And also, here's some tips from the College of Christ Consciousness on how to reprogram an old belief. First, acknowledge or own the fear or pattern. Second, ask, what keeps me believing in that fear or situation? What will happen if I let go of it? What's the payoff for keeping it? And keep in mind, there always is one. Number three, decide if the pattern serves me anymore. Decide if you want to keep the program or change it. And if you decide to keep it, observe why without judgment. Four, if you decide to change it, decide what you want to change it to. Be specific. You must decide on a new belief, a choice for a new perception. If you willingly choose to believe in a new reality, you can eliminate it. Eliminate the situation or the fear. Number 5, state your intention, what you intend to create. 6, ask spirit, your highest self, for guidance, then release control of the manifestation of the intent to spirit. And lastly, trust. Because fears and erroneous beliefs have supported us, and we tend to want to hold on to them through our anger or other emotional reactions because it's the only way of life we've known. But fears can be survival tools, but will keep us locked in a lower vibration that doesn't help our life in a positive way. So, you know, in my definition, once you get a handle on changing and creating, consciously creating, then you're free, because you're free to choose and decide who you want to be. And you also choose and decide your emotional response to any external circumstance. So always remember Bashar's words, outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? Then be that state and then act on the outer circumstance. And I hope this information from Eland throws a new angle on Bashar's information. And I would just love to hear from you in terms of how this working out for you and how you you apply it into your actual daily life. And my sincere wishes for full consciousness, perfect health and abundance. And I hope you'll tune in again next week on ET Yoga. Good night.
To a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.